with several of them.
I cannot believe it's already the 20th anniversary of Straight Talk Africa. Absolutely amazing.
Welcome to Straight Talk Africa. I am Shaka Sali.
VOA Straight Talk Africa has done exceedingly well to cover contemporary issues, political, economic issues, social, cultural issues that are taking place in Africa in a timely and fashionable manner. And I think it provides a platform for a really fair and impartial, objective sense of things on the ground in Africa.
The show is an icon. It is the marquee show for African affairs.
It gives an expansive understanding about African politics and African future.
Well before social media became such a thing, Straight Talk Africa was there with interactive media, with audience participation, with fresh, up-to-date news, analysis, and information.
In a lot of these dictatorships, the chief executives not only controls the executive, but actually controls the legislature and the judiciary.
That's a very good point.
Whenever I'm with him on the show, it's just amazing working with Shaka. You know, his depth of knowledge on issues, his knowledge on factual developments on the ground is just incomparable.
I'm grateful because I believe, as I've been promoting a new dispensation of Pan-Africanism, Straight Talk of Africa gave me some exposure.
I was in the airport in Kenya and someone came up to me to say, I know you, I saw you on Shaka's show, and we love Shaka. So you recognize that people all over the world, they know him, they trust him, he is honest. He has integrity. He's seen as someone who can speak truth to power, and he's done so consistently for two decades and more.
How will I describe Shaka?
Shaka is an international treasure. He is a gem.
A consummate television personality of incomparable standard.
He contributed to elevate the consciousness of Africans, and is a true son of Africa.
That is how I would describe Shaka.
Well, Shaka, I want to go back in time and talk about the kid from Kabale. But before we do that, I want us to hear from your number of fans from your hometown and beyond.
The interesting thing about him was that unlike people like me and many, many others, he did not follow the way things were supposed to be. He, in many ways, was marching to his own beat. And this, of course, in a very conservative society like Uganda at the time, was alarming to our parents. But we, the young people, secretly admired him because Shaka was always into the movies, and Shaka, of course, he quit school, high school, and joined the military. And this, our parents thought this was the worst thing a person could have done. And they, in fact, even warned us not to associate with him because he would be a bad influence. Such was the conservative society in which we lived. But of course, time has proved him right.
And what I like about Shaka the most, he's always has time for his fans, whether they're, you know, presidents, ministers, or just a plain shopkeeper. He treats everyone the same. So that's the great thing about Shaka. He, you know, everyone's treated the same and respected the same way. So it's nice to see that.
So, Ndugu Shaka, you dropped out of school and joined the army. Why the army?
Because it was probably the only institution at the time that would help me realize something I came to like and admire so much when I was very, very young, interacting with Hollywood via cinema. They call the movies here in the United States. We call it cinema. Mm-hmm. And I think it is the same thing, actually, in London. I fell in love with the cowboy general. I liked the Duke, John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Gene Autry. I liked Clint Eastwood. And I liked Jimmy Dean. And Jimmy Dean especially, because you cannot believe this. Even if I had the power to write a script, I could never have done that, because many, many years later, I end up at UCLA, a world-class film school, among others that has produced Jimmy Dean, a guy who was supposed to be a rebel with a cause. He actually went to that same film school. Francis Ford Coppola, a guy, of course, who brought us the sequels of The Godfather.
Mm-hmm.
We basically pretty much breathed the same air in the same building. We basically enjoyed the sculpture garden on the incredibly beautiful campus of UCLA. So when I liked those cowboy generals, or the spaghetti westerns, as they are called sometimes, I also liked the pistol. I liked the power of the grenade. Those types of things. I liked the stunts. When I look at the cavalry where I was born and grew up, there was only one institution where I could have unfettered access to some of those gadgets. It was the military. And I was, as I told you, an incredibly good athlete. And so the military was terrific. And frankly, I am glad that I actually made that detour, because I do not believe, frankly, that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. It's a detour. And frankly, I am here interacting with you, Ndugu Peter, perhaps precisely because I made that detour. It is the military that opened my eyes, that made me grow. It taught me that you either have to self-destruct or grow up. And I'm glad that I chose the latter.
But
it helped me. I was a sort of adventurous type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also equally fiercely independent-minded.
Mm-hmm.
That second quality is something that could not quite possibly be tolerated in an institution such as the military.
Mm-hmm.
But I was in the Army as an officer cadet for training for 2 years, and boy, did I grow up. I met so many different types of people. People who had dropped out of universities, people who had legitimate university degrees, people who had gone to different universities, schools abroad, and what have you. And I was very young. I was almost doing catch-up, you know, every time I could think about it.
Mm.
I wanted to be like some of those people. I remember asking an Israeli officer cadet one time, I said, "What did you do to be so smart? You are so smart in class." He said, "Books, books, books." But you know what? If someone suggested that I was perhaps a remarkable case of a second birth in one lifetime, I wouldn't deny it.
Mm. Now, Shaka, we reached out to your viewers and fans on social media and told them we are celebrating the 20th anniversary of Straight Talk Africa. We were inundated with comments and videos. Let's take a look.
I like the matter, the way in how you press your panelists on Straight Talk Africa, the way you introduce it. Hello, this is Straight Talk Africa.
I started following this program, I was a very young man, but I've been following you and how you're doing your things. So you are a good example of moderators doing such programs.
You have enlightened many Africans and have opened our eyes to know a lot of what is going on in the world.
You enlighten us about the crisis in West Africa, Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Nigeria. You also enlighten us of the natural disaster. I enjoy your program.
It tells us about what is happening in Africa in all aspects of life, economically, socially, and politically. And also it tries to suggest the possible solutions to the challenges and the problems that are facing Africa.
Shaka, first of all, inspired me to go to Gezi College of Utovere. And Shaka, I've learned a lot of things. We have united Africa by using some of your words saying, keep Africa hope alive.
I remember that the VOA's Straight Talk Africa was one of the reasons I had to get my own shortwave radio then as a student. And I must say that indeed I've been enlightened. I'm also encouraged by the passion and commitment with which Mr. Shaka Sali anchors the program, which has made me glued to the Voice of America from 2002 till date. It's a hammer that hits the nail on the head, straight into many issues in Africa.
And I love Shaka Sali just because he's always straight on the point when he brings a guest in the studio.
This last 20 years of service on Straight Talk Africa has been so evidential and has certained that Africa voices can lead to its development.
With the Shaka implant to African leaders and even the youth here in Africa, one day, one time, Africa will be peaceful. And my country, South Sudan, will also be peaceful.
Let me use some of your words that you use at the end of your show. Get better, not bitter, and keep the African hope alive.
Well, so, Edugu Shaka, looking at your background, what really triggered your interest into plunging yourself into journalism? After all, you could have been comfortable. You were in the army. You could have been, you know, made a lot of money, traveled around. What made you plunge yourself into journalism in the first place? What triggered it?
Well, first of all, as I told you a little bit earlier, I was this sort of kid that was very adventurous. I honestly liked having a good time. And I used to like the army, especially when I became a paratrooper lieutenant with my wings, very, very dapper uniform and stuff like that. And I would, on occasion, drive some sports cars and stuff like that and, you know, go on very good dates, go to good restaurants, go to movies, and you name it, drive-in cinemas and stuff like that. So what happens is that along the way, I also sincerely became socially and politically conscious, because being in the army, you begin to understand clearly what a government is or a government is not. And it so happened that while I was in the army, there was a military coup which essentially brought General Idi Amin Dada to power. And for the first time, I started questioning whether in fact it had been a good idea to begin with to be associated with that type of institution, which was abusing power, which was torturing, intimidating, and in some cases, really, killing innocent civilians. Killed many of my, you know, officer, cadet, you know, colleagues. Killed many of my officer colleagues. You know, the army gives you an opportunity to bond. To be honest with you, ever since I left the army, and you are talking about really almost 5 decades, life has never been the same for me. Mm. I one time, in fact, described how I felt to a former president of Botswana, Lieutenant General Ian Khama, Therese Kama, retired but not tired, he asked me when I was, just before I interviewed him, that ideally, what would I have liked to do? I told him that if I had been born and grown up in a democratic society, I wouldn't have minded being a general. But then I said, since I wasn't, I think the best thing that could ever happen to me is to be a journalist. And part of the reason, frankly, is, again, keeping in mind that I was a very adventurous guy, very fiercely independent-minded. I also liked to travel. I liked to see places. But I did not have that kind of money. And I was not really good at making money, and I never even wanted to do it. I don't like business. Even though my father was a successful business person, it is my sisters who have actually ended up borrowing that leaf from my father, and they are some are successful entrepreneurs. But I also borrowed a leaf from him, which was somebody that was interested to know what was happening in his surroundings. He had bought a radio earlier, Pi radio, with earth wire, transmitter, a huge battery, like a block. I always sat by him on the fireside, listening to the news as he listened. And so what happened was I felt when I sort of grew up that the best thing that probably could really happen to me is for me to be a journalist, so that somebody or some, you know, big institution could be kind enough to hire me so that I could use its money and resources to go around the African continent and indeed the world. And that has happened. In fact, to be honest with you, I can tell you from the deepest, better part of the bottom of my Kabale heart and soul, that I am so lucky that the Voice of America as an institution pays me for doing something that I would probably do for pro bono, something that I would do as a hobby.
You earned a Doctor of Philosophy degree. However, you pretty much don't like using it. Some people call you Dr. Shaka Sali. You don't want to be called Dr. Shaka Sali. Why?
Well, first of all, what is beautiful about it is that, as you put it rightly, it is an earned doctorate degree. Mm-hmm. I have the rights and full privileges of the University of California to call myself legitimately Dr. Sali. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's not the salutation that makes you a doctor. I honestly feel that at the end of the day, what I do, so long as it reflects the training that I acquired, that is good enough. Because I grew up in an environment where the only person you refer to as a doctor is a doctor with a real clinic. Someone that treats people when they are sick. Mm-hmm. And so I can imagine myself back in my Kabale setting, you calling me a doctor, and a kid suffering from malaria or whatever it is, and the mother would immediately run towards me and say, "Doctor, could you please make a difference here?" So that's part of the reason. Mm. And guess what? Hosting this program, Straight Talk Africa, has also really helped me in many, many, many different ways. It has educated me. It has liberated me. For a kid from Kabale who used to suffer from what I call intellectual kwashakoo.
Mm-hmm.
That kid came to the United States. That kid lives and has a platform originating from the de facto political capital of the world.
Mm.
This is a place, whether you like it or not, where some of the decisions that affect all of us globally are made.
Mm.
So I'm proud of that fact. And also, I think here I should say that I shall always owe a huge, profound debt of gratitude to the American people for having given me the infrastructure, the educational infrastructure,
mm-hmm.
that has helped me from being an obscure Cavalli kid to a household name in many, many African and global homes.
Mm. Ndugu, for 20 years, you've hosted and managed Straight Talk Africa. From its inception, or when it was conceptualized, how have you managed to keep it for two decades and still running strong?
First of all, I have to say that I am not a very spiritual person.
Mm.
But I sometimes think that when somebody says that you are blessed, maybe there is a point.
Right.
But one thing I can assure you is that for me, when it comes to Straight Talk Africa, I remember the first interview that I received just before the first edition went on air. The journalist, asked me, what will it take for you to consider yourself a successful host of Straight Talk Africa? I remember immediately, spontaneously, saying that if I could first and foremost remain authentically Shaka Sali, the kid from Cavalli, I would have succeeded. And frankly, I think there is abundant evidence to suggest that we have succeeded because we are still alive. You cannot believe how many doubting Thomases were there. And so what happens is that I basically see myself essentially in the audience. And the audience apparently also happens to see itself in me. So we resonate. That is the secret.
Well put. To conclude the celebration of the 20th anniversary of Straight Talk Africa, it's my esteemed honor and pleasure, distinctly, to call on the indefatigable host and managing editor of the show, Shaka Sali, to sign off for us.
Thank you so much. Get better, not bitter, Africa. And please, please remember to keep the African hopes alive.